This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830. Welcome to the broadcast. It is Sunday, December 14th, 2025, bearing down on the holiday season. I am Rob Gerisline. Thanks so much for tuning in for another week. I'll be with you for the next hour. I'm going to spend a fair amount of time talking deer hunting. Mark Morrison is going to join us here in about 10 minutes. We're down to the final 2 weeks of archery deer hunting here in Minnesota. He's going to give us some tips for those folks that are willing to brave the cold temperatures like we had this weekend to go sit in a tree stand and try to fill one of their tags that they still have remaining in 2025. Those late season guys, they're hardcore. We'll talk to Mark about that. Going to finish our interview with Ryan Callahan, the new CEO and president of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Ryan was with us last week for a segment. He'll join us again at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to him some more about his new role, so looking forward to that. Speaking of cold, we built some ice this weekend, right? When you have daytime highs around zero, you are making ice. I don't care how much snow is on top of the ice. You're definitely building some of the hard stuff underneath that fluffy stuff. Yeah, we did have some snow this week. My back is aware of that. I think I shoveled I shoveled three or four times. That's been a little irritating, hasn't it? How it snows like almost every day, just enough so you have to shovel and just enough to kind of screw up the commute. I'm sorry. I don't mean to complain. I love it here in Minnesota. But it has been a real December, hasn't it? Old school winter. And you know, when you get a lot of snow on the ice, especially young ice, it insulates it so it's harder for that ice to get thick and to build. But I got to tell you, when it gets this cold, you're building ice. So as of early this past week, we had walkable ice pretty much statewide. The Outdoor News Fishing Report shared that insight statewide. In the northern portion of the state, a lot of smaller vehicles going out, ATVs, snowmobiles. And I got to think that has accelerated rapidly as we get into the back half of this weekend with, again, sub-zero temperatures. We have a lot of years where the ice fishing season really doesn't get going until the first of the year. Well, here we are 2 weeks to go, and it is running full throttle, certainly in the border areas of the state, the Lake of the Woods, and across a vast swath of the ice belt. So get out there and enjoy it. Be careful. Be safe. Check the ice as you go, especially with these snow conditions. But a great start to the season overall. I think I'm going to get Tony Roach with us next week. He is a guide in central Minnesota, and we'll talk to him some more about how ice fishing is going, what he expects as we wrap up December. Sharon Staler, the bird chick, is also going to join me next week. Talk about the Christmas bird count. So a little insight into what's coming on WCCO Outdoors in 7 days. One of the news item I want to spend some time discussing, I've talked about chronic wasting disease. The deer kill overall this year is up. I think last report we were at like 178,000 deer taken by hunters so far across all seasons in 2025. That's up from 170 across all seasons a year ago by at the end of the year. And like I say, we still got 2 weeks of archery hunting still to go. We've got a special late season CWD hunt that will take place next weekend, December 19th to 21st. That's in select areas. mostly in places where we're trying to really crank down on the deer herd because we want to slow the spread of chronic wasting disease down in the portion of the state that I hunt, the southeast, unfortunately. So if you want to take advantage of that opportunity, you could take up to 5 deer, I believe, in some of these deer permit areas where they're doing this late season hunt. And I mean, you could also take any deer. So it's very liberalized that way. But it is going to be cold, and you do definitely have to have your deer tested for CWD if you kill one in those areas. And you can get all the details on that late CWD season. Just go to mndnr.gov and search late CWD season. There's a whole webpage devoted to that. I tell you, the DNR also has a really good page. If you just Google up Minnesota DNR CWD test results, they've got a great page breaking that all down. And some bad news there. I've been kind of alluding to this the past couple of weeks, but we're seeing tangible results now. We had a lot of suspected positives, again, especially in these disease management zones. This is deer permit areas 601 to 684, again, mostly in southeastern Minnesota. Last year, we had a total of 97 positives statewide. I believe we're up to 100 when I checked it here late this past week. And there were another like 16 or 17 still suspects when I checked it late this week. And again, we've got a late CWD hunt still cooking. We've got late archery. There might be some others potentially still pending. So you start to apply the math. We're definitely going to be over 100 this year, maybe in that 120 range if all these suspects end up positive. And that is, again, I'm doing my math on the fly, a 20, 30% increase from a year ago. We're going the wrong way, and we're not managing CWD as intensely anymore because the DNR says it's endemic in some of these deer permit areas, and it's frankly just kind of a waste of money to do targeted culling and those sorts of things once it's at that 5% level. And what that means is it's going to accelerate. I suspect in some of those areas it's going to be 10, 15, 20, 30% endemic, especially in the adult bucks, in the next 5 to 10 years. That's what we've seen across the river in Wisconsin. So sorry to be a harbinger of bad news regarding chronic wasting disease. Luckily, it's still just in mostly in that part of the state. And let's say we have 120 positives this year. Well, that's bad, but I think they have a couple thousand a year in Wisconsin. So it could be far, far worse. I think we will wrap up this segment with that. We'll talk some positive deer hunting content here with Mark Morrison in a few minutes. He's from the Minnesota River region of South Central Minnesota. We'll get his take on late season deer hunting. We will also talk with Ryan Callahan a little bit later. So don't go away. More WCCO Outdoors after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Welcome back, everybody. WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830. It is Sunday, December 14th. Rob Dreisline with you for another segment. We're mostly going to talk deer hunting, late season deer hunting during this segment. But before I get to my guest, I promised the folks up at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame up in Hayward, Wisconsin, that is, that I give them a quick little plug. They've got a youth writing contest with some cash prizes. They are still accepting entries through Saturday, January 10th. So if you're a young person out there and you've got an outdoor story you want to share, the instructions are very clear. Don't use AI. But other than that, you should consider sharing the story with the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame people. For details, just go to freshwater-fishing.org. Scroll down a little bit. It's called the Lindsay Sale Tinney Youth Writing Contest. You'll see it right there on their homepage. If you're a young person and you want to share your outdoor story, presumably involving fishing, you should write it up and share it with the Freshwater Fishing Hall in Hayward. Again, deadline is January 10th, freshwater-fishing.org for more details. And now let's talk a little hunting. We are getting into the back half of December, and that means about the only deer hunting that still remains is late season archery. And I want to talk to a outdoor photographer and communicator, writer here in Minnesota. He's out of Mankato. His name is Mark Morrison. He hasn't joined me on Outdoor News Radio before, but he's here now to give us some tips for chasing deer during the late season. Mark, good to see you. How's the season treated you so far?
It's been pretty good. I actually haven't shot a deer yet, but I've passed up quite a few. So it's been a pretty good season.
You've seen a lot of deer. What's your take on deer populations and numbers? I presume you mostly are hunting down Minnesota River Valley country.
Yeah, and the deer numbers here in the areas that I hunt are pretty heavy. We have quite a few deer, and you don't have to go far, and the numbers are a little less, but they're high this year. I would say kind of like they were back in the 2007-8 years when we had the three tag deal.
Do you think the loss of CRP acres has resulted in lower deer numbers down in the farmland portion of the country, particularly the Southwest? That's something I keep bringing up, and no one else mentions it, but I think it's real.
Yeah, because those deer, the CRP is super attractive. Like if you hunt Iowa or Kansas or something, a lot of deer spend a ton of time in that CRP. And, you know, we don't have as much CRP here as we used to, but we don't, most of the deer here are shot in woodlots, not off the CRP, but in western Minnesota, like in the pheasant range. With the loss of CRP, yeah, you lose pheasants and deer.
I keep bringing it up. I don't think people understand how important CRP grassland is for thermal cover for whitetail deer. They really spent a lot of time in that. Gary Clance and I used to talk about that 20 years ago, but that's a whole other story. We still have some deer hunting opportunities left till the end of the year, pretty much down to the archery deer season. This is kind of for the hardcore, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's now I kind of have a rule where if it's below 5 degrees, a lot of times I won't go out. You know, because if it's 5 degrees and you have a bunch of wind and you're going to be hunting out of a tree stand, you can have the situation where you get a shot at a deer and it might be a close shot, but you might not be able to successfully pull your bow back, or you might be able to pull a bow back, but if you've been sitting for a few hours, you might not be able to execute a good shot. So in that instance, like what I do, if it's below 5 degrees, I hunt on the ground then, you know, then you don't become a human airfoil.
Yeah, that's that's a good idea. Now, and you're right, you need to think about safety too. I mean, your margin for error if you fall out of a tree stand or,
yeah,
you know, you get turned around in the dark or whatever it might be is really narrow when you're dealing with these kind of temperatures.
if you go out on a day like today where it's snowing and it's 31 degrees, that's perfect. You know, you've got the woods are beautiful. You got the fresh snow. You got good tracking snow. You've got everything you need. But, you know, if that temperature gets down to zero and you have the same thing, you know, say that you got some precipitation, you get out there and your climbing sticks or whatever have ice on them, yeah. And you got to be pretty careful.
Right.
And so there's a huge safety factor.
Yeah. Make sure at least one or more people know where you are. That's an important factor too. These are also some of the shortest days of the year. That's a kind of a narrow window to get out hunting, right?
It is, you know, say that you're going to hunt all day on a Saturday or something. You know, if you decide to come in, you don't really have that much time to come in, you know, and grab some hot chocolate or coffee or something and then head back out. So if it's not brutal, staying out all day is a pretty good option. I do that quite a bit. And what I do to kind of break up the day is I might have two or three stands and I'll sit one in the morning. And then a few hours after that, I'll sneak to a midday stand and then either sneak back to the other stand or to a third stand. So it makes the day go by a little bit faster. You get a little bit of movement, you know, and it kind of breaks up the day.
It also allows you to sleep in a little this time of year. And then, you know, by what, 4:30, you're probably climbing down. You can have your evening. You can have a life at night when the days are this short and still get in a quote unquote full day of hunting. This is WCCO Outdoors, Rob Dreeseline with Mark Morrison talking about the final couple weeks of deer hunting here in Minnesota. All that's really left is bow hunting, although you can use a crossbow these days. You and I haven't talked about that. I don't know how you feel about crossbows, Mark. We don't necessarily have to go there on that.
As a traditional bow hunter, you can probably know how I feel about crossbows.
Okay. Yeah, and by traditional, are you a longbow guy or a recurve guy?
You both. I use both longbows and recurves. Just depends what feeling hits me. Mostly recurves.
Okay. Wow. So you're hardcore if you're out there late season bowling with a recurve. Good for you. Mark is an outdoors writer and photographer based out of Mankato, Minnesota. What are the deer up to this time of year? What are you keen on? Bill Marshall just wrote a piece for Outdoor News where he talked about it's really all about the food. Is that what you believe too?
Yeah, it is. And the deer I hunt right now, they're already starting to group up a little bit. So where you might have sat and had two or three deer come by, now it might be six or seven. And obviously, since they've went through the shotgun season, they're in muzzleloader season, they're a little spookier now. They spend a little more time, say, back in the ravines and don't get out to the fields till well after dark. But if you've got a chisel plowed cornfield or something, there's not enough snow to stop them from digging that up. I've got a couple of bean fields near me where they weren't plowed, so the deer are tearing those up. And then if you have any kind of greenery left in the woods, whether it's even prickly ash or something, they'll browse on that before they get out to the fields.
And why do deer group up, as you say? Sometimes it's referred to as yarding up. What's that about? Is that there's strength in numbers, or there's more heat in numbers?
I would assume that it's because you take their browse sources, their feed sources, and their bedding areas all get tapered down to just a few areas because, you know, they want to be out of the wind, maybe in the sun when they bed down. So they'll all go to the south facing hillside where before they may be a lot more spread out.
Gotcha.
Same with the food. If you've got an unpicked bean field and everything else around it is plowed black, they're all going to go to that field.
That is one benefit this time of year, especially in farm country, is when the crops are down, they've all been harvested, there's fewer places for these deer to hide. And so you're able to find bottlenecks and locate logical locations where these deer might be compared to early season.
Correct. And then, of course, if you get busted in the tree stand, you're going to get busted by, you know, eight or nine deer instead of one.
Right. Because to your point there.
Which is a lot more depressing at the end of the year when you still have a tag.
Sure.
Because they seem to be at the end of the year, say you're in a situation and you're getting ready to draw your bow or whatever, and they spot you, they spook and they bolt. The chances of them walking back down that trail within a couple more weeks' time is pretty slim.
Are water sources worth keying in on this time of year? I mean, there's fewer of those as things freeze up, correct? Or are deer happy just they get their water just from snow? Or how do you approach that?
In the ravine system I hunt, there's a tile that drains into these ravines that year-round drips some kind of water. So they'll drink there. But I've never really set up over a water source per se to hunt them, you know, because it's so hit or miss. Usually they drink, all the deer that we see drinking, that we observe, is always at night. But the water sources we see them drinking out of are in an open area.
These whitetails are pretty active at night in the winter, right? Is that in part, I suppose, if they're feeding during the coldest part of the day, it's to help maintain body temperature. And then, you know, they're more likely to get radiant heat from the sun during the day and maybe bed down, huh?
Right. Exactly. You know, and whitetail bucks are kind of interesting. If you find an area, say in early September and August, where these bucks are rubbing, like they'll do a lot of intense rubbing that time of year in these real thick areas, you can go back to those areas this time of year, because usually those same areas will produce a little bit of browse. And for some reason, the bucks seem to kind of gravitate back towards those areas again late in the year like this. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting dynamic, but it's almost written in stone.
And are you a true believer that any deer taken during the last couple of weeks of December is a trophy?
Yeah, I am. Because it's, you know, you have to overcome quite a bit, a lot, you know, say it's freezing cold, you've got precipitation or whatever, you've got deer that have been, you know, deer that have been hunted, like where I hunt, there's some guys that hunt next door in a big ravine complex, like eight of them that hunt with firearms. So they're hunting the same deer I am. So those deer are pretty on edge once firearm season gets over. Unless you get some large snowfalls, it's kind of like pheasants that way. You know how when you hunt pheasants, they can be hunted pretty hard, but then that first snowfall, you go out and it's like they've never been hunted before. Kind of the same thing with deer. If you go out and, like, say, I know a few years ago, we had a blizzard on New Year's Eve, and I had two doe tags left. And my buddy called and said, well, we should probably go out bull hunting on the last day. So I did. And it was a full bore blizzard. We got, I don't know, like 20 inches of snow. And I climbed up my tree stand. And when I got up there, I snuck up there pretty quietly. And when I got up there, I looked, and there was two does bedded 25 yards away in a thicket. They didn't see me get into the stand because of the blizzard. They both got up one at a time and walked 15 yards past me. So I ended up getting both of those does. So they, you know, it was interesting because they had lost a lot of their spookiness just because of that blizzard, because they were in full survival mode at that point, because both of those deer, when I tracked them, we had to kick up snow to find the blood. And then we just saw these humps of snow, and that's where the deer had expired, because it was snowing. It was coming down so fast, you just couldn't readily track those deer. So I'm sure they were more worried about the snow than they were me.
That's a great story, because, I mean, you hung in there through nasty weather and through the very last day of the season. So don't give up. Good luck to you, Mark, as you try to fill that tag here in the last couple weeks of 2025.
Yeah, thank you.
Mark Morrison down in Mankato, a deer hunter, giving folks some tips. If you haven't filled your bow hunting tag just yet, you still got time. And Mark just proved it with that last anecdote. Let's grab a break. More of the broadcast after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Here-eth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get-eth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
WCCO Outdoors on News Talk A3O. Welcome back to the broadcast on this Sunday, December 14th. Last week, I had the first half of my interview with Ryan Callahan. He's the new CEO and president of Montana-based Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, one of the largest growing conservation groups in the country over the past decade plus. Ryan has been with the MeatEater.com for many years. He's a well-known conservation activist. Last week we talked a little bit about his background, but I want to get more into his vision for BHA going forward into 2026 right now. So Ryan, during BHA's early years, it was really kind of made a name for itself with rapid growth. It seemed to appeal, it still does appeal to a lot of younger folks. You know, the leadership was real outspoken for fish and wildlife, lands and waters. Do you see that approach changing, or are you, is this group still going to be full steam ahead at tackling public lands issues, issues like the roadless rule, issues like this Borderlands Conservation Act? Are those some upcoming priorities?
Yeah, absolutely. They are. The approach, you know, being loud all the time is really easy to tune out. And what we need to do is effectively build these coalitions of seemingly different interests. Right. So our agricultural base and our recreation base, they get put in very different buckets, but the overlap there is very, very significant. It's one of those odd things that if you put a bunch of adults in the room and people tell you you're different, well, one beer later, you find a lot of middle ground. Right. So it's the same thing with these interest groups, the Borderland Security Act, roadless rule. There is so much room in the middle that we all agree on, but we're being told from different angles that we need to throw it all out or totally rewrite the script. There's always room for improvement, but we're not looking at improvement. We're looking at wholesale destruction of, in the case of the roadless rule, a very successful program that was put together with all the interests at the table. You know, we're being
told, with a ton of public comment. Yeah.
Yeah. We're being told that, the timber industry needs this. Well, the timber industry was at the table to design the roadless rule. They're a huge part of why we have the roadless rule. This isn't about domestic board foot of lumber production.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, Cal. And we're kind of waiting to see the next step on that, right? We're waiting for the administration, I think, as you and I speak.
We are, yes. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of groups like BHA that are up on the hill and talking to our lawmakers and telling them about the needs and wants of our constituency, why we're here, why these places are important. And the reality, Rob, is DC is a long way from our public lands. There's incredible opportunity not too far away on public land. They're discussed about at like the theory level in a lot of these offices, not in the practical. And groups like BHA, we bring that practical knowledge to those places. And we have people who have the dirt underneath their fingernails, and they can effectively say, this is what these areas provide for the American people, and this is why they're important. Respectfully, this is the tack that we need to take.
Let's talk about membership. These are challenging membership times, you know, for every conservation group out there. BHA seemed like they kind of bucked that trend for a number of years, even, you know, kind of through the pandemic. But I don't think it's a secret that a lot of conservation groups, including BHA, have seen their membership plateau maybe decrease a little bit. How are you going to turn that around? Is that one of your goals, is to bolster membership within this organization you're going to be leading?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just turned 43. So, you know, to the young kids, I'm not young anymore. To the older crowd, I might still be a little bit young. But, you know, that's something that every conservation group, and BHA absolutely is part of that, needs to focus on, right? Like we have to, as one of our old board chairs, Ted Cook, would say, we got to share the love, because this stuff is serious. It's very important. But how do you bring in new people, younger faces and brains and muscle, by saying, hey, this is going to be really responsibility heavy and depressing at times. We got to celebrate the awesome stuff that we have, share the food, the learning opportunities, and inspire people to stand up for these places. And I think there's a lot of people that are going to gravitate to that. Membership is definitely something that I would love to see increase, because primarily when we step on that podium and address a committee, or we're in an office, we say, hey, this is our membership. This is how deep we are across the country. These are our demographics. We're independent. We're liberal. We're conservative. Democrats, Republicans, everything in between. We're your voters. And this is what we need right now. That's where the power comes from.
Yeah, I think it's relatively easy, quote unquote, easy to recruit a young guy who's, you know, thinking, you know, in 5 years, I want to go out west and hunt elk on a public lands. I think it's relatively easy to recruit that guy. But I would argue, you know, a private landowner in southeastern Minnesota, or Connecticut for that matter, who's hunting white-tailed deer, has a vested interest in what your organization is all about. Maybe not today, maybe not this hunting season, but eventually they will. Yeah, how do you reach those guys? How do you get them on board with your mission and what your organization is all about?
Great question, Rob. It's always easy on a one-on-one level, but you know, BHA, we spread a conservation, responsible use ethos, and our membership is very passionate about that. And that is something that bleeds across the three-strand barbed wire fence. Noxious weeds, plantings, wildfire mitigation, all the things that go into healthy landscape, your BHA member can talk about part and parcel very passionately. And we know that it's not an us versus them landscape. Like, we are all public landowners. And you can own a heck of a lot of private land, and guess what? You're still a public landowner, right? Yeah. So this isn't us versus them. We're all in the same boat, and we gotta work together, and it's going to be better if we do.
This is WCCO Outdoors. I'm Rob Driesline. We're chatting for the second week in a row with Ryan Callahan, the new CEO and president of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
Well, hey, I got one kind of hard question at you. You still are going to be working, at least affiliated with MeatEater.com. I presume you think that's going to actually present some opportunities. It might, I would think, present some challenges. I'm thinking about things like sponsors. You know, could there be, you know, a conflict of interest, times where the two might be incompatible? Have you thought ahead to that? You know, how do you realistically plan to, I guess, tackle those kind of challenges? What, you know, what's going to come first, maybe?
Yeah, no, Rob, I think that is and should always be a concern for folks is how any organization is run, especially when you're looking to donate money. And that one's not like on the top of my serious issue list, because my whole life I've had to wear an objective hat and treat every group that comes through the door the same. Even when I was a board member for BHA and, you know, definitely wore the BHA shirt very proudly. So I have no doubt that we'll be able to treat every relationship with the proper objectivity.
Let's talk about the chapters a little bit. You know, your chapters are really important to backcountry hunters and anglers. You got a real strong one here in Minnesota that I'm a member of. I've been very clear about that. You know, how do you ensure that the chapters feel empowered and supported by BH National? You know, there's a lot of local issues that they bring to the forefront. I read it in the magazine from all over the country.
Yeah, and that is the value of having that chapter model is we have boots on the ground in all of these rural communities, and they are the ones who are bringing up sometimes very serious issues to the national level before a lot of major news outlets even get a hold of it. So that's a really big deal. And we have strong leaders in a lot of chapters. We could use more for sure. So if this stuff sounds good to you, I'd really recommend you get a hold of your local chapter. You know, we work on the stewardship side of things that are like physical projects. And then we help people like get the tools to be confident, go be your own lobbyist or lobby on behalf of the BHA membership as well. So that chapter presence is really amazing because when it's done well, we have personal relationships at the Fish and Game Committee, the governor's office, state representatives. We have that Rolodex to where we can say, hey, we know this person, we can make this happen.
Winding down here, Cal, a couple fun questions for you. I think one, I know on another podcast you were on since you've been named the head of BHA, you described yourself as an optimist and you said we're on the edge of a big win. You want to flesh that out for me a little bit? What does that mean?
I am. I was just on this brutal elk hunt, traditional muzzleloader elk hunt in Idaho, and never pulled the trigger, let the old flint down. But I knew I was going to get a bull the whole time. And I feel like the value, the threat of our public lands and access being taken away hit mainstream media right in the main vein, in the artery.
Yeah, it was on 60 Minutes this past week. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And It is real. And if people don't stand up for it, it can go away. It can be so different than the way we had it. And I see that as this just major connection point, all these different interests coming together, just like they did back over the summer to say, hey, these places are important. We're going to push our personal BS aside because the thing that we really have in common is the love of the outdoors and these big, wild, public, open places. So I'm a huge optimist there.
Good. We need that kind of energy, given some of the battles that are looming out there. And I think I speak for a lot of the membership. I think the announcement that you're taking over has been very well received, Cal. And I hope you're getting that vibe wherever you are too. And it's great to have you on board. One quick hunting question. So your Idaho hunt didn't go real well, but anything else still cooking for this fall? I'm sure you got some other hunts planned.
It went amazingly well, Rob. I mean, we were in elk the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Conditions were brutal and just very loud, deep, crunchy snow. And so we got within 200 yards of a bachelor group of three bulls.
Oof, that's good. Man, that's right there, huh?
Yeah. And two out of the three were over 300-inch bulls.
My goodness.
But, I mean, we were in it the entire time. It was fantastic. So,
fun, yeah.
Probably switching gears here and getting snored out, and we're going to be chasing some pheasants in South Dakota next week.
Great. Well, I hope the rest of the holiday weekend goes really well for you and your gal, Cal. Thanks so much for carving out all this time for my listeners, and best of luck to you the rest of the hunting season, and we'll look forward to talking to you more frequently once you start this new role on Jan 1.
That'd be great, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you to Ryan Callahan. Let's grab a break. More of the broadcast after these messages. WCCO Outdoors on News Talk A30. Welcome back to the broadcast on this Sunday, December 14th. Rob Dreisline with you here for a few more minutes. You know, at the start of the broadcast, I talked a little bit about the deer kill thus far this year. It's at like 177, 178,000, something like that, an increase from last year. And I said, yeah, you know, there's still some season still to go. I mentioned the archery. I forgot the muzzleloader season ran through this weekend. It just wrapped up as we speak, right? Just as it got dark, ran through today, the 14th. So the muzzleloader season is over. But a fair number of deer get taken during the black powder hunt, and a lot of them are not in that tally. So we're probably going to be over 180,000 this year. That's some good news. Probably also means a few more CWD deer, positive deer coming in that I didn't account for earlier when I brought up that subject. Couple quick news items I would like to mention before we go. One not so fun, one kind of cool. The not so fun, the Office of Legislative Auditor. They get charged by the legislature to investigate different parts, usually the executive branch, things that are going on in the state to make sure spending is happening appropriately. And the DNR has been the subject of a number of OLA reports in the past, what, year to 18 months. And Outdoor News, we just reported this past week that there is another Office of Legislative Auditor report coming. The group of accountants over there at the auditor's office apparently are looking into the DNR's longstanding electronic licensing system upgrade. This is something I've been talking about here for a couple years. It's long overdue. The existing system, I think, is like 22 years old. Management at the DNR are the first folks to admit that it needs to be upgraded. They've had some challenges with the process, and I don't think it's a newsflash to say it's been running probably behind schedule, slower than the DNR wanted to implement, and apparently the auditor is investigating the process. The auditor files a report. It's not like the auditor cops are going to come after anyone, but folks should be aware that's underway with a report probably coming later this winter. DNR maintaining they want to get the system upgraded, but they want to do it right, and I don't think anyone would argue with that. And then finally, before I go today, we've got a little cougar update. We've had a lot of cougar stories at my day job at Outdoor News over the years, other news outlets. You know, anytime a cougar pops up, they report it. For a lot of years, I didn't believe a lot of them. Then trail cameras came along and we're getting a lot more photos via trail camera. That and everybody's got a camera in their pocket now with their iPhone. So if a cougar crosses the road, everybody pulls out your phone and people are able to get pictures now. So we're seeing more of them. And we've had a couple reports out of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Last winter, you might recall, we had pictures of a couple of cougar cubs, and that was the first time anyone had documented cougar cubs in the upper Midwest. That was a huge story, western upper peninsula. But we had another report at our website this past week. This time it was a pair of large cougars, adult cougars, again in the upper peninsula of Michigan. The dateline was Marquette. Reporting in the Tri-Mountain area, which I believe is west of Marquette, Ontonagon County, two cougars photographed at a deer hunter's bait pile in that county. It was relatively close to where this pair of cougar kittens had been photographed last year. Some suggesting, you know, this is a picture of these cubs that have grown up. They're pretty big cats. I don't know enough about the speed of cougar development to know if they could be those same kittens. But bottom line, we get a lot of pictures of individual cougars. We had the one in Duluth here just, what, a couple weeks ago. This was a pair. You rarely see that. And again, it suggests that we might have some breeding mountain lion activity here in the upper Midwest, which I think is pretty cool. I'm glad I live in a part of the country that's wild enough to host a few cougars. Anyway, with that, we got a great show coming next week. Sharon Steitler will be here to talk a little bit about the Christmas bird count. We'll also talk ice fishing with Tony Roach. But for now, I want to thank everybody for joining me here today. Happy holidays to everyone, and I hope you all have a great week out of doors. I'm Rob Dreisline, signing off for WCCO Outdoors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.